And now let's see if Thunder Ridge can get this one up before the end of it. Orzig fires the three. Nope. But great band. Here come the Lady Blue Jays of St. John's Tipton. Another state appearance here for St. John's Tipton. Let's see if Northern Valley even fouls at this point. I don't think they will. And St. John's Tipton, congratulations. You will be going on to the 1A state tournament with a 65-50 victory, pulling away from Northern Valley.
You can hear the Frankfort crowd on the far side knowing that it's over now. And Stowe was throwing the ball to the official, but there were still 4 seconds on the clock. He's like, I'm not touching it. The clock's still running. It finally rolls out before it goes out of bounds. 50-31, the final score, Frankfort over Osborne. The Lady Dogs finish their season at 20-3. Frankfort, for the first time since 2018 and the sixth time in school history, is headed to the state tournament.
Rebound Palmer. Boyd will back off. 7 seconds to play, and Southeast Saline boys undefeated in league play, knock off a league rival in the sub-state finals here tonight. Your final score, Southeast of Saline, 56, and the Beloit Trojan boys, 42.
So a mixed bag of results on Saturday with sub-state championship games for our area teams. As you heard, St. John's Tipton girls and boys both going to state in Great Bend. We'll have coverage of them full play-by-play beginning on Wednesday. Dusty will go through that schedule coming up here in a little bit. And we'll look at the state brackets. Really, there's only one to really work at for our area teams, clearly, but there are some other teams regionally, like a Southeast Saline that is going to state. So we'll cover all that coming up in a little bit. And congratulations to Blue Jay girls and boys making it to state. The Beloit boys gave Southeast all they could handle, 38-35 early in the fourth, but Southeast just able to pull away, 18-7 run to close it out. Beloit was down early, 11-2, looked like they get run out of the building, scored 10 straight, were up by one, and put it all out there. But Southeast Saline just a little too much, and their bench was really a big key to the game as they had 4 3-pointers from bench players, 2 apiece for Kaysen Lilly and Drew Richardson. And Wyatt Brockman had a great first half for Beloit, 12 of his 15, only Trojan in double figures for Beloit, and he had 3 triples at a three-point play, and Noah Gerstner hit a 3 to cut it to 3 at 38-35, and Drew Richardson for Southeast Saline had only made 9 threes all year long. He comes off the bench. He had made one earlier in the game. He was wide open in the corner, made a 3, pushed the lead back up to 6 at 41-35, Beloit would score, make it 41-37, and a three-pointer by Kaysen Lilly, another kid off the bench. And Southeast Saline went up 7, didn't look back, and go on to win it there. And the Osborne girls, Dusty, it sounded like they were kind of trailing the whole game against Frankfort.
Yeah, they got down early, and then it was 12-4 at the end of the first quarter and 15-5 at one point there in the second. Osborne did fight back and went on a 10-2 run to get within 17-15, but from there, Frankfort scored the last 6 points of the first half, the first 4 of the second half on a 10-0 run there from the end of the first into the second half to lead 28-15, and that was pretty much all she wrote there. They were never able to fight back into it. They trailed by 16 after 3, lost by 19 in the end. Trinity Luters, the only double-figure scorer for Osborne there on Saturday with 12 points, and again, they found it hard to come by offense, and then once Frankfort got the lead, they kind of slowed the tempo and just kind of let the clock kind of run quite a bit there in the fourth quarter and really never gave Osborne the opportunity to come back. Osborne tried to fight and get, you know, plays tough defense to get the ball back, and they tried to foul there toward the end maybe to see if that might help, but nothing worked for them there in the end as they finished their year at 20-3 with that loss there. And as you heard there at the beginning, Frankfort's going to state for the sixth time, the first time since 2018, and they're 20-3 going into the state tournament. Again, 50-31 the score, Frankfort over Osborne on Saturday in girls' action.
And Beloit finished 17-6. 3 of their losses were to Southeast. One was to Olathe North, who made 6A state, and one to Clay Center, who made 4A state unexpectedly, and the other loss to Concordia. So losses for these teams weren't exactly to bad teams.
No, not at all. Osborne, obviously, to Frankfort, and then Lakeside, and then earlier in the season, you know, the Bulldogs took a loss, too. So, you know, I think that or Selvin Lucas was the other team that Osborne lost to. So clearly some good teams they lost to as well, and Frankfort's outstanding. I mean, they're just a team, right? Like, yeah, a great group. Hattie Gross had a good game for them with 27. Only 4 players scored for Frankfort, but when you get 27 from one, that's going to make a big difference. But they just play together.
Yeah.
Even though she had 27, it's like, you know, they understand who's hot and who needs to be taken over at any point.
You know, I used to work up in that area. I'm from 2000 and 2006, I believe it was, and then I came here. And this is just a fact, and it's an observation as well. And anybody that would refute this, you really need to go back and do some research. But when I came here, the level of basketball is way different. It just is. I covered the TVL for many, many years, Centralia winning state championships. It's harder for teams in the TVL to make it to state and actually do well at state.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's geography. And there's a lot of people that complain every year about, well, there's too many ranked teams in this sub-state. This other sub-state's a cakewalk. And that happens sometimes. And it isn't fair. Absolutely not. It's not. There are so many teams from the TVL that don't even make it to state that would place in the top four, if not, maybe win it. And the greatest example of all was the Wetmore Cardinal girls one year where they finished seventh in their league tournament. Finished seventh or eighth in the regular season standings and made it to the state championship game. That's all you need to know. Your eighth best team in your league was second in the state. That tells you how tough that league was that year, but it's almost every year. And it does certainly seem, certainly if you keep track of head-to-head matchups between our teams in this area versus from the NPL in particular versus the TVL, the TVL has a gigantic advantage when it comes to winning percentage, whether it be football, volleyball, or basketball. Anyone disagree with me on that one?
You can't disagree.
You can't disagree.
The numbers are right there. Like you talk to the coaches that have played those teams. They can't disagree.
No.
They know. They've seen it. They've done it. They've gone against them. And
it's just a different level of competition.
Reasons people want to go west
right.
from substate, right?
You don't want to go east. In 1A, you don't want to go east.
It's not a secret at all for the teams around here.
No.
If you can get in a west substate, you feel a lot better about your chances to go to state.
If you can avoid a Centralia, a Hanover, a Frankfurt, an Axtell, you feel a lot better about your chances. And used to be Baileyville B&B until, mercifully for people even across the state, they decided to consolidate with Nemaha Valley to form Nemaha Central. And, oh, they've really fallen off, haven't they?
Yeah. Because Nemaha Valley wasn't good either.
Oh, they were awesome, dude. Nemaha Valley is awesome. And
exactly.
Girls basketball and boys basketball pretty good. And volleyball, they were dominant there for a span
yeah,
of
and
time.
Yeah, in Nemaha Valley, who was dominant in 3A level at some points, right?
Yes.
And
oh,
then,
yes.
And then you put B&B with them, and it's like, well, this is not even fair.
No,
like,
it's not.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, it's not. And so we see it again. I mean, look, Osborne had to go that way. The girls and boys of Osborne and the Lakeside boys had to go that way. Lakeside boys lost by 40. Osborne boys lost by 1. Great game. Osborne girls lost by 19 in the final, and they all lost to TVL teams, and two of those games weren't really that close. And then you've got, you know, you got 1A Division 1, you got 1A Division 2, and so, and St. John's Tipton's gone through this. They've had years where their season ended when they had to play a Hanover or somebody like that. So if you avoid a Hanover, and if a different division, that's a good way to avoid some of these teams too. And then you get to play your league schools in your sub-state, like a Thunder Ridge, or you play a Tescott, and you're familiar with those. That helps on top of it all. And so then you get the state, and then you might still cross paths with some of these schools from the TVL. But the great thing is if you can avoid them, and there have been years Osborne's been able to avoid them, and then there's years where you have to deal with them. And I'm not saying the NPL can't beat those teams. There have been instances that have happened. But if you add them all up and you go on the chalkboard and you do the tally, win for the league, win versus this league, or just any team for our area, which pretty much all the smaller schools are in the NPL for our area, it is, like you said, coaches can't refute it. Administrators can't refute it. It's all proof in the pudding. I would say the winning percentage is well over 80%.
Yeah, Josh Meyer from Concordia was one of the officials up there, and we were actually talking kind of before some of the games about, you know, this of TVL and NPL, and it doesn't always work out as well for the NPL, right?
Right.
And I was like, you know, we've had if you have like an outstanding team, a team that is state capable of winning a championship, those are the teams that can win those games, right? Like I've seen it, like yep. Lance had some teams at St. John's, right? At St. John's Tipton that you know, they beat Axtell in the postseason 2 years in a row, mm-hmm. right? Like they're beating these teams. You've got to have a team like that, right? And Keith had a couple teams over there too mm-hmm. at St. John's Tipton that could do that and beat them, you know. St. John's Tipton beat a Wetmore or something to get to state, you know, to get to the in-state.
Well,
they beat Wetmore to get to the semifinals.
Just a few years ago, they beat Wetmore at Beloit High School,
to
but
get
that,
to the
that took Wetmore
yeah.
to upset Hanover,
yeah, exactly.
who was one of the top teams, if not the top team in the state. So St. John's Tipton caught a break there because Wetmore knocked off Hanover. But at the same time, Wetmore's still a good team because they beat Hanover. And
absolutely.
Yes, that would be one of the recent examples of where St. John's Tipton knocked off Wetmore. And that was the situation where State was not at a neutral site because they played that first round game at the higher seeded site. So St. John's Tipton had home court advantage. Even though it was Beloit High School, there definitely you could feel the crowd help them, no question. And of course, it also helps to have a great player.
Absolutely.
And Lauren Dubert, of course, was the catalyst for that, too.
Yeah, and her brother Davis was the catalyst for a lot of the St. John's Tipton. And Trey was, too, earlier. Like, if you had those teams that could do that, you know, and that's why, and Connor was right next to me when I was talking about it, and I was like, and when, you know, when Connor was playing, you know, they had a team that could do it, right? They had a state championship caliber team.
Right.
And that's what it takes. So you can't be just like a state tournament caliber team.
No, you got to be.
You've got to be a championship caliber team, and that's what Thunder Ridge is in football, right?
Yes.
Like that's how they can beat Frankfurt, you know, in the last couple of years in football in the playoffs, and then move on. But
and ran
last
into
two
an animal
years,
called
run into Axtell, right? And so that's the TVL team that we're talking about.
Right.
It's just a little bit above what Thunder Ridge is the last couple of years, and so it hasn't worked out the way that they might like. But you know, it is. You've got to have a great team, and there's few examples of the teams around here that have done it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it's unfortunate,
right?
But listen, I've covered many games for our sister station in Marysville with these teams involved, right? And you did it for years when you were out there working there, and also have helped Bruce cover some games down here when you cover Hanover, Centralia, whatever it is at State, right? And it's different. And it sucks for the teams around here.
It really sucks if you're in sub-state with them, because then your chance of going to state are lessened. Now, you can't be intimidated going in and thinking you're going to lose or you've lost before you started. At the same time, you, when the sub-state brackets come out, you're like, please let me go west.
Yeah. I mean, because I honestly have a file where I keep track of all the games I do, right? I can't even tell you how many TVL over MPL games there are in that file.
There's a ton.
Football, volleyball, basketball, just all over the place. And it's just like, just send me west, please.
Yeah, right, exactly. So unfortunately for Osborne girls and boys, they lose to TVL teams. The Lakeside boys lost to a very good Clifton Clyde team that's going on the state.
That team's going to challenge for a championship.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll win it or not, but they're going to be right there for it.
They'll be right there, no doubt. And then, of course, St. John's Tipton, we talked about, and right off the top of the show with the cuts from Jason, they win sub-state down at Tescott. Now, listen, the girls, they cruised through it. They really weren't tested. It was, you know, perfect setup for St. John's Tipton girls, and they took full advantage of it, and they punched their ticket or scanned their code to go to state. The St. John's Tipton boys, listen, They caught some gigantic breaks, because the sub-state semifinal game, you're not supposed to win down 14, 36-22 in the fourth quarter. When you score 22 points through three quarters, you're not supposed to win. Secondly, it took Thunder Ridge to miss, what did you say, 11 free throws in the fourth quarter in overtime? Might have been more.
That was more.
You had 11
fourth quarter alone, it was 3 of 20, I think.
Well, you kept saying 11 missed free throws. 3 of 20? They missed 17
11 in a row, I think, at one point I said.
They missed 11 in a row?
Yeah.
Okay. So 3 of 20 in the fourth quarter is where they shot from the foul line.
Yeah.
And Thunder Ridge still was able to get to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eddie Hrenek hit a few big-time three-pointers.
Yep.
But, I mean, you know, we talked about this before. You always want to say that the team that came back had something to do with winning, and the team that lost the big lead had something to do with losing. It's a combination of both, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a stronger combination of this team played unbelievable to get back in the game and win it, and sometimes it's the team that had the lead did way more to lose it than the other team did to win it. And from what I've been talking with some people that were at the game, and you listening to you in the broadcast, and I think most people would acknowledge that you can't count on a team to miss that many free throws and still go to overtime. Like, that should have cost them in regulation.
Yeah.
Go to overtime and then win by three. And I don't bring this up to hurt anybody's feelings, because it sucks. I mean, Thunder Ridge, for them to be right there and play so well and then to lose a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter, but worse yet is to miss open shots because they're not guarded. They're free throws, which has been a problem for them all year. And then to see St. John's Tipton win the next night has to really just stick in your crawl, because Thunder Ridge would be like, dude, we would be at state if we just made free throws. Mm-hmm. And I feel for every kid that missed free throws. And it wasn't just one player. It was a whole bunch of them. Sure. And I don't know if I've ever heard of a team miss that many free throws late in a game. And obviously, St. John's Tipton took advantage of it, because if Eddie Herenick and others don't make shots, maybe Thunder Ridge gets away with it. So once again, it's a combination of one team losing the lead, another team taking advantage of mistakes. But when was the last time you heard of a team miss that many free throws in a fourth quarter of a game like that? I don't recall anything, and I've done this for 30 years.
And it wasn't just the free throws. They also kind of got sped up offensively and lost the handle of the basketball a couple of times and missed a layup in there somewhere in the middle of that as well. And it was just a game that both teams played in fifth gear, it seemed like, the whole game. And it's sometimes basketball's best played in fourth gear. You got to have a little control with your with your hustle, and it was just a matter of, was St. John's Tipton going to have a shot making run? And they finally got it, and Thunder Ridge just it was so unfortunate, because they were 6 of 8 at one point in the basketball game from the free throw line. And I kind of said, in the regular season matchup, they shot 5 for 25, and that's what Coach Branch said. And I felt bad, because the next night Coach Branch is there with the assistant with the girls, and I just asked him, did you get any sleep last night? And he goes, no. It was a sleepless night for him, because they were so close, and yet, came up just a little bit short. Yeah.
Sometimes I don't know if people are even listening. Like, they listen to the show, but they actually listen. hey, sorry, Bullet lost. Shame on you for downplaying the teams that made it. How'd I downplay the teams that made it? We started the show with 2 play-by-play cuts, let off the show with the teams making it to state, and then gave them credit for making state. And then all we talked about was the NPL versus TVL, which had nothing to do with the teams that made state for the most part, because they're at a different sub-state. So we were talking about, you want to go west instead of east. I don't know how I'm downplaying teams making a state. We led the show with it, for crying out loud. No, St. John's Tipton earned their trips to state. I didn't say they didn't. What I'm saying is, it helps to be in the right sub-state. Anybody argues that, you just don't know what you're talking about. Like, all I got to do is use Beloit as an example. If Southeast Saline goes south like they have some years, and TMP stays 3A, and TMP plays at Russell, which is where they would go if they were 3A, and Beloit played TMP in the sub-state final, maybe Beloit would be at state. I mean, they could be, but they aren't, because Southeast is simply better. Southeast beat Beloit 3 times. You want me to downplay Beloit going 17-6 this year? I'm not downplaying Osborne girls having a good year. I'm not downplaying Osborne boys, Lakeside boys. The bottom line is, when it gets to sub-state semifinal, sub-state championship time, or in the state tournament, or whatever it may be, when the TVL and the NPL play, the proof's in the pudding. That's not downplaying Jack Squat. It's simply saying the facts. And if you don't like the facts, then turn the station. Okay? The facts are, the TVL knocks just absolutely, and the TVL does against every league. I'm just using the NPL because that's who we cover.
Lost.
And we get sick of it too. We get sick of it. We get sick of the same teams beating our teams. Yes, we hate that too. You don't think I hate it that Centralia and Hanover and Frankfort and Axtell are beating Thunder Ridge and Lakeside and Osborne and St. John's Tipton? You don't think I hate it that Southeast Saline beats Beloit 7 straight times the last 3 years in boys ball and girls basketball? I mean, I hate all that stuff. I don't like the same teams winning all the time unless it's my team. Dear Lord, if you're a Jayhawk fan, you love that you win all the time. If you're a K-State fan, you love that you win all the time. You hate it when your team loses. It might really hurt to say this, but listen, K-State fans, you did great this year, and the Kansas still won the Big 12 title. Great year for K-State, still not the KU's level, right? Oh, wait a minute, I'm downplaying how great K-State had a season. My bad. No, I'm not downplaying K-State at all. The fact is, KU's the Big 12 champion, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's the goal before the season? Win the conference championship, at least for some teams in the league, okay? KU won it. So if I say that KU won it and K-State's the 3 seed of the Big 12 tournament, am I downplaying K-State's season by bragging about KU winning the Big 12 championship? No, I'm not. I'm not at all. And if KU and K-State play each other in the Big 12 tournament and KU beats them, I mean, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Am I supposed to downplay KU winning it so I don't hurt K-State's fans? I mean, no. What we're saying here is that we have two teams that made it to state, and the other teams that didn't make it to state ran into juggernauts. They ran into great teams that were simply better than them. Period. All right? And what I'm saying about the St. John's Tipton Thunder Ridge game, anybody that knows anything that happened at the game, including people I've talked to that were at the game, know that we cut some breaks when the other team misses that many free throws. And dear God, if I can't explain that any clearer, then I'm done, and we're done with the show, and I retire early, except I don't have enough money to retire early. But no, we're not downplaying anybody's accomplishment. What we're saying is that when you get to the end of the year, as Dusty so eloquently put it, you have to be state championship caliber to beat teams from the TVL. Listen, Beloit had to be state championship caliber to beat Southeast Saline the other night. And, you know, I think they were for about three quarters. But unfortunately, it's a four-quarter game in those situations. And Southeast finished strong. They deserve to be at state. Now, am I downplaying Beloit's season because I gave Southeast credit for making it to state? I don't know what the hell I can say that will please people. And I don't even care anymore. I really don't. Because no matter what I say, it gets twisted and turned, and I can go back and I can play it back for people, and somehow people will hear what they want to hear. You will hear whatever you want to hear. That's just the way society is today. We hear one thing, we're looking for one thing, we want to hear one thing, and then we'll just jump all over it. And if that's the way you live life, then I'm sorry for you.
I mean, I saw the, you know, if
Jason was there.
If we're talking about, you know, not giving St. John's Tipton all the credit for the comeback,
well, they shouldn't get all the credit.
Some blame on Thunder Ridge. I'm sorry. These are one game elimination situations, and this is sports.
Yes.
This is competition. This is what happens. You go, you don't just practice amongst yourselves on 5-on-0 and do things. You're playing the other team, and you're dealing with the other team's strengths, and you're dealing with the other team's weaknesses, and you're dealing with what they accomplish and what they fail to do. And, you know, sometimes in football games, teams fumble the football. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they throw interceptions. Sometimes you drop an interception. You know, that's why we love these games at the end of the season. They're one game situations. I don't know how else to say it. The Blue Jays were down 36-22 at one point late in that basketball game, and honestly, if you ask me what are their chances of coming back, I'm saying 5%.
Yeah.
And I don't know how else to say that. Do I think that they could hit a couple outside shots and make it a little bit tighter? Yeah. And that's what happened. And that 5% all of a sudden grew to 10%, and then all of a sudden it's 20%. And just as the minutes kept going, and a couple more free throws, a layup missed, stuff like an offensive foul. Yes, the percentages come up, but at one point, I don't even think the fans of the team could have been that confident at 36-22.
No.
The way that game was going. You've only scored 22 points. You need 14 in 8 minutes just to tie. And the other team not score. So
it's a tremendous comeback.
I feel, yeah, it's great. It's great. It's what makes these games exciting. Is like, as long as there's still time on the clock, there's a chance.
Listen,
that's great. But to say
downplay,
you gotta,
every great comeback is aided by, as some people would say, a collapse.
Right.
And it just depends on what side of the coin you're on. I mean, listen, if the roles are reversed, and we know Lance Bergman very well, if the roles were reversed and St. John's Tipton went 3-for-20 in the fourth quarter, do you think Lance would be running over to us saying, wow, Thunder Ridge won that one. They just outplayed us. No way, Jose. There's not a single coach on earth that would say, yeah, They would say, well, dear Lord, I mean, if we just make a few free throws, it doesn't go to overtime. And I'm not trying to pick on the Thunder Ridge kids, because I hate to do that, because I don't want that to come across that way. The facts are the facts that they missed a lot of free throws, and it sucks. It really does. And that word is strong, but it really, I feel for them. I mean, I'm listening to the radio. I don't, listen, those are area teams we cover. We know kids and families from all, but both those towns. I've always said this. You guys know this. Anybody listen on a regular basis and really truly pays attention when they listen, I say this every year when we get to the NCAA tournament. I say this every single year when we get to the World Series. I say this every single year when we get to the Super Bowl. And that is, I just hope that the team that wins makes the plays, the winning plays, and it doesn't come down to somebody missing a field goal, missing a free throw, calling a timeout when they don't have timeouts, or an official making a bad call. I don't want a GOAT. I don't want a GOAT.
We want a hero.
I want a hero. Yeah.
I want
exactly.
G-O-A-T, but I don't want a GOAT.
Right. Yes. 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 With the periods in between those letters. I want that GOAT, but I don't want somebody to actually be the GOAT. And so when you have a great comeback in sports, there's always two halves to it. There is the one team that makes mistakes that allows you to come back, and the team that comes back does a lot of great things to win the game, okay?
And I'd be willing to change my tune a little bit if this was like 70-56 at one point, and then all of a sudden,
St. John's hit seven threes in a row,
shot after shot after shot, and beat them to 80. You know, and that's a way different looking game than what happened on Friday night. And so I would be willing to change my tune a little bit if that's what happened, but it is what it is, and it was a low-scoring, kind of a choppy game, and you're going to have to go through one of those in a three-game mini-tournament like this. And I give them credit for sticking with it, and
absolutely.
I actually give Hrenek credit. I mean, I don't want to – I say this not to pick on the kid, because I want to give a compliment to the end. He really struggled shooting the basketball that night.
But
he stuck with it, and he was probably lucky that they were behind by so much, because he had no choice but to keep shooting.
That works.
You know, if it's a one or two possession game, you might doubt yourself if you want to shoot or not.
I know that kid though. I coached him when he was younger.
It's not
he
that
don't
kid.
Doubt himself.
It's not that kid.
Eddie Hrenek is a confident kid, man.
But
I love coaching him too. By the way.
Right, and. But at the same time, if you're down 10 or double digits or whatever it is, he had no choice but to keep shooting. And
right.
he did.
And he made him.
And he made him.
I think the best way to sum this up about that game is what some coaches have told me, and they laugh when they say it. They said, yeah, our free throw defense was really good last night. There is no such thing. Yeah. That's what makes it funny. St. John's Tipton didn't do anything to defend those free throws because you're not allowed to.
And it's
unfortunate. It's as simple as that. Well, look at Memphis. Go back to 2008. I mean, what was it? McDonald Roberts, whatever his name was. I forgot his name. Not McDonald Roberts.
No, Douglas
Roberts. He missed a free throw. Rose missed a free throw. I mean, listen, Kansas won, but it took Memphis to miss free throws. Did Kansas play great defense at the foul line in that game? No, they can't do that. So I've said before, Kansas made a great comeback, but it was aided by Memphis making some bad decisions. That's what's true of any comeback. I mean, when the Chiefs went down 24-0 against the Texans, for crying out loud, went on a fake punt. That helped aid the comeback. I mean, you go back, so many different things that happen when a team comes back in a game and wins. There's something that aids them. There's something that helps them. But the bottom line is, so that we can apparently, because one person, there was only one person texted me about downplaying it. I'm exaggerating maybe a little bit to get people more excited about the show, whatever. But I'm sure if one person thinks it, then there's a few others that do, because that's just the way people are. But the bottom line is you have to, one, first of all, if you're down 14 in the fourth quarter, it would be easy to hang your head and go, we had a great season, too bad. But no, in order to make a comeback, you need aided by the other team to make a mistake or two here and there, no doubt, and sometimes a lot of mistakes. But you have to believe you're still in the game. If you don't believe you're still in the game, odds are you ain't coming back no matter what the other team does, even if they make a mistake. You've got to believe that you can still come back. Whether you're down by 20 in the first half, you're down by 14 in the fourth quarter, okay? And listen, You've got to play well at the end to close it out. You know what a baseball pitcher tells you? This fans say this all the time. I've heard fans say this. I don't know why they don't put this pitcher in as our closer, because our closer is struggling. Because you have to have the right mentality to be a closer. I've talked to Jeff Montgomery once in my life. He is one of the best closers in Royals history. The ninth inning is a whole different animal. Well, it's just three outs. Yeah, but it's the last three outs, okay? How many times do you see kids that are tremendous free throw shooters at any level of sports in basketball go to the line in pressure situations and miss, and then there'll be the 55% foul shooter that cans them? And you're like, what? But kids have different ways of handling pressure. Just because you're an 80% foul shooter doesn't mean you're going to make two free throws to tie the game. Just because you're a 50% shooter doesn't mean you can't make two to tie the game, okay? Everybody handles pressure differently. Every moment is different. And so it's so mental. And so, like I said, anybody that comes back, and we talked about this not too long ago, is that I don't like when I hear people say, well, they never give any credit to the other team. They just simply say, we completely blew it, we beat ourselves, and they don't give any credit to the other team because, yeah, we had four turnovers in the football game. Yeah, but two were forced because of pass pressure and a tip ball, and the other one was forced on a punch out for a fumble. But you want to act like you should have never turned it over four times. Well, at least a couple of those were forced, so you at least should give them credit for that. Same thing here. Granted, Thunder Ridge missed a lot of free throws. We know that. But, as we've stated, they had St. John's Tipton had, last I checked, if St. John's Tipton doesn't score, Thunder Ridge could miss 100 free throws in a row, and they still win, which means the Blue Jays had to make plays. The boys had to make threes. They had to make plays and score inside. They had to get a few stops, force a few turnovers. It wasn't just free throws.
Right.
They had to force some turnovers. They had to make some shots. They had to execute. So, you know, like I said, I don't think any of us have ever witnessed, except Jason now, that many missed free throws. And it stinks. And I felt horrible. I'm listening to this. I'm like, dear goodness, I don't even – it doesn't truly fully matter to me who wins, although I do – I have a couple kids I've coached that are St. John's. So, you know, maybe you can figure out my leanings a little bit. I mean, if you had history with kids, you pull for them, obviously. I'm pulling for the kids. But at the same time, there are great people cheering for both those schools. And what I want is Thunder Ridge to make all their free throws and St. John's Tipton hit a three-pointer at the buzzer to win the game, or Thunder Ridge a three-point buzzer. Somebody goes out and wins the game, which eventually St. John's Tipton did. But I just hate to see, because listen, I've been there, but not in a sub-state final because we weren't that good. But I've been at the foul line in my time way back in the Stone Age, okay? And it is not easy to step to that line where everybody's watching you in a tight game and make free throws to win. And I can't even tell you what it's like in a sub-state final because I never was in a sub-state final except my freshman year, and I was on the bench as the 12th man, lucky enough to be on varsity, but I didn't see the floor unless we were up by 40, and that wouldn't happen in sub-state. So I just helped practice against the seniors. My sophomore, junior, and senior year, we never made the sub-state final. And I've had to shoot some clutch free throws at the end of a regular season game, and that's still pressure, but it is nothing compared to sub-state, and it's probably nothing compared to state when it comes down to the wire. And so I absolutely hate, especially in high school and in college too, and even younger than that, where it comes down to a mistake or something to that magnitude, or just simply a miss. That's not a mistake. Everybody's human. People miss shots. And so, or miss a layup, you know, or a wide open three, or a travel that right before they were going to score the game winning bucket. I feel for that. And I want to say that one more thing, and then we're going to move on. And I've said this to my younger kids. I've said this on the show before that I coach, but I'm going to say this out to all the high school kids as well. Okay. Cause we're talking high school basketball because we were sub-state wrap up from Saturday. Every single one of those basketball teams, every single player on every single one of those teams, whether it's St. John's Tipton, Osborne, Lakeside, Thunder Ridge, Beloit, whoever else I'm leaving out, Smith Center, their season came to an end in the sub-state final as well. We hadn't even mentioned that yet. They lost to Hoxie. Hoxie played great. Smith Center, I hear, played one of their not so good. Well, it happens. I mean, it stinks to play a night where you can't make any shots. Smoky Valley lost to Norton, couldn't buy a shot, from a friend of mine that has a kid on the team. Mm-hmm. You have those nights when you're cold, you know you're the better of the team, but you just don't make shots. It happens. It's going to happen at state. There's going to be a team that's really great that's going to lose to a team that's probably not as good because they have a bad night. Sometimes just a bad night. Now, maybe the other team forced you into a bad night. But I want to give a shout out to every single young woman or young girl, lady, however way you want to put it, and every young man or boy that puts themselves out there for high school athletics. Because when you put yourself out there, you put yourself out there with a chance to fail. Yes, you have a chance to succeed. Absolutely you do. But really, the odds are you have a better chance to fail. I mean, just play the odds. I mean, how many people shoot 50 or 60 or 70% from the floor? Not that many. No. Okay? Usually your post players get the higher percentage because they have the closer, higher percentage looks, correct? Okay. How many? Are there tons of people, tons of players that shoot 80 or 70% at the foul line? No, there isn't. Okay, so that means that you succeed 6 out of every 10 times. If you're a 60% foul shooter, you fail 4 of the 10 times. So I applaud every single athlete, whether it is wrestling, girls basketball, boys basketball, golf, tennis, cross country, football, baseball, softball, you name it, every single sport. I applaud them at the high school level and any other level for putting themselves out there to be criticized, to be made fun of, to be applauded, to be lifted up, to be torn down. And in society today, we're seeing way too much stress being put on youth of America in various many situations, okay? And not even to mention what happens with people towards officials. Let's not even get started there. So I applaud every single one of these young people because, listen, I've been there and done that where I've missed a shot that would have won the game and our season ended, and I felt bad that I missed the shot. But I was willing to take the shot because I thought, hey, I have an open shot. I want the ball in my hands, chance to win the game. You know, it's a feast or famine type of thing. You know, you're either the hero or you're the goat. Some people want that. Some people like that pressure. Some people thrive on it. Some people completely run away from it. But if you don't like pressure at all, then you need to not go out for sports. Pressure is involved in sports all the time. Sports is a mechanism, okay, of life, okay? You have to overcome adversity when you play in sports, both individually and as a team, okay? You enjoy the highs of the highs and the lows of the lows. You don't enjoy the lows of the lows. And they always say, don't get too high, don't get too low. I'll give you one example. And then we'll wrap up this part of the show and then get to the college stuff. The Sabetha boys were the number one team in the state. Undefeated in Class 3A. Have beaten Nemaha Central already twice this year. Nemaha Central, Sabetha are about 12 miles away from each other. Okay? Rivalry. Big time rivalry. I've covered it. I've been there. And all the time I was there, they'd run into each other at sub-state in volleyball, girls basketball, boys basketball, football being the same district. And back when they didn't even take the top two from district, sometimes when whoever won that game made it, another team could be 8-1 and not make state playoffs in football back in the day. They loved playing each other and they hated playing each other because when they played each other in sub-state, they knew that one of those two good teams or programs was automatically out. And they also knew it was going to be a meat grinder of a game no matter what sport it was, and that no matter what the records were, you had to take the other one seriously. So what happened on Friday night, Nemaha Central in Marysville playing Sabetha. Sabetha is the number one team in the state in boys. They're really good. They got some outstanding players I see during the summer. Sabetha's undefeated. Nemaha Central's 8-12. Okay? Nemaha Central beat Sabetha. Sabetha's done. 21-0. You think those seniors are prepared for their season to end that night? No. I guarantee you they weren't. Nemaha Central, it's got to be on cloud nine, right? We beat our arch rival. We knocked off the number one team in the state. We gave them their only loss. It has to be so gratifying and satisfying that they're able to win that game. And then turn around and play a state-ranked Marysville team less than 24 hours later on Marysville's home floor was what they had to do. And it didn't go so well on Saturday, and I figured it wouldn't. And they lost by 18 to Marysville. And so you go from the high of highs on a Friday night at 10 o'clock, probably all the way till 2 in the morning. You're at home. You can't fall asleep. You're like, man, we beat Sabetha. Holy shnikes. We're one win away from the state. And it's hard to come down from that cloud nine, right? Mm-hmm. Then you turn around and you got to somehow regroup and refocus to play a really good Marysville team on their home floor, of all things. And you lose by 18. And you go from on cloud nine and ecstasy, beating Sabetha Friday night at 10 o'clock to Saturday night at 10 o'clock, your season's over and your seniors are done. That's the finality of it. I mean, you went from maybe the greatest win in your high school career, possibly for some of those boys in Omaha Central on Friday night, to one of the lowest points of their career 24 hours later when their senior season's over, or their season's over in general for any of the players. Now, that, you know what? That takes a lot for kids to put themselves out there, don't you think? I mean, that is tough. Like, wouldn't you'd rather have won Thursday and had Friday to regroup, and then maybe you'd been better off on Saturday. But that's how fast it can change in sports. You know, you can have a situation where, you know, Thunder Ridge, that could have been a regular season game to lost St. John's Tipton. And then the next time they played them a week later, they might have beat St. John's Tipton, mm-hmm. and they made their free throws. But it's magnified. You don't get to redo it. It's magnified when it's the game that determines your season and you stay running. So Beth had a great year. They know they're better than probably half the 3A state field. You know, they might be the best team in the state. Just because they lost Nemo Central doesn't mean they're the best team in the state. They might have been the best team in the state, but they lost at the worst possible time to a rival. Okay, sometimes your worst shooting performance happens at the worst time. Your worst free throw shooting, the most turnovers, your coach gets a technical at the worst possible time. You know, whatever the case may be. But the kids put themselves out there, and I applaud all of them for doing it, because there is, I think, more pressure today than there is ever before on young people out there. And I think there is way more pressure on these kids than there was when I played way back in this, in, you know, before we had running water and plumbing.
You take a science test, it's just between you and your teacher, what your grade is, whether you pass or failed.
Nobody sees it.
Yeah, basketball, you're in front of the whole town. You're in front of, and I was just going to say, look at that right here. Michael Jordan, 49.7%. He missed more shots than he made. George Brett made twice as many outs than he ever got base hits. These are games that aren't built on, you know, always being successful. It's about grinding through the mistakes. You know, the Chiefs don't score touchdowns more than they score touchdowns. You know,
right?
You know, it's just the way it is. You have to have that mixture of good plays and bad plays for these sports. That's why these sports are so fun to cover and watch. But they are tough for kids that are involved. I'll give all the kids, even in Stockton and well, that teams that struggled were at the bottom of the seeding. They were 0 and whatever. Congratulations to them for sticking out the season.
You need to tell them to go out there and get beat 106-11, but you went and played the damn game, right? Like,
yeah.
Stockton, I said that at the beginning of the year. I had to cover the first three Stockton games that preseason tournament, and I'm like, they could have easily said, no, we're going to do what we did last year. We're not going to play. But they had a wrestler out there that was playing just so they could have a basketball team, just so they could have enough kids to go out, right, mm-hmm. and play. And so, yeah, I've been saying that all year about Stockton for sure, and Natoma added to that list, because those are two teams that could have said, no, we're not going to play. We're never in any game. We're not gaining anything from playing these games. But what you gain is the fact that you are out there with your buddies. You're out there with your friends. You're out there competing mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. trying and wanting to do things and be a part of something. Mm-hmm. And even if it's not going well for you, you're still out there, right?
Right.
And yeah, I 100% agree with all that. It's like the kids, you're putting yourself out there when you're in that situation. I don't think people realize that and think about that very much. But
that's why I hate to bring up the free throw thing.
Yeah. But you magnify that and then add to it the expectation of what you're supposed to do when you do get out there.
Right.
And so the expectation is that, hey, this is what we did. You know, Osborne girls are a good example. They've made it to state 2 years in a row. The expectation is you're getting back.
Right.
With a veteran group that has a senior that scored over 1,700 points.
Right.
You're getting back because you've been there 2 years in a row. And sometimes it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you come up against a matchup that's just too tough and you can't end up getting to where you need to go. Or sometimes you're expected to do this. Thunder Ridge lost to St. John's Tipton in the regular season. Maybe they're not expected to win that game, but they go out and put themselves in a position to do so.
Right.
And then it doesn't end right for them, right? And St. John's Tipton obviously you know, they move on and take advantage of the win that they had and put an outstanding game on Saturday.
That's right. They had a new lease on life.
Yeah.
And that probably freed them up to play so well on Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'll give you one more just from my personal experience. You know, the Beloit girls were 4-16. They lost to Southeast twice. They were down on the road on the first round of Substate at 17-2. I mean, you're sitting here going, I'm sitting here in my head going, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, they're down like three or four, and they battled back. They could have easily said, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Easily said, we're done. I mean, woe was us, woe was me, 4-16. We're playing a team we haven't beaten this year. I haven't beaten a couple years, and they're state ranked, and we're down. And we're young, we're inexperienced, we'll get them next year. And no, that wasn't what happened. And so, you know, you're right. Whether you have a good record or even a bad record, or if you're just trying to put together a team, the fact that you can finish the season is terrific. There was a kid on a traveling basketball team a year or two ago that basically quit on our team. And I was like, wow, I liked the kid, but I was like, and I know he got pressure from external forces that caused him to do it, because I think it was fully up to him. He would not have done what he did. And I think that's unfortunate that you have the wrong people around you telling you the wrong type of things. Because one of the things that I've tried to instill in my kids, and I will continue to do it, is that you don't, if you start something, you finish it. You know, if you commit to it, you finish it. You know, if you go out for a sport and you're halfway through the season, it ain't going so well. Well, you know what? Man up, finish it. That way nobody can label you a quitter, okay? Then you're done, you're done. Now listen, you're not a quitter because you played a sport one year and you chose not to play a sport the next year. We got a lot of kids that play two out of three sports. Maybe they specialize in one. They don't do every single sport. They didn't quit. They didn't quit on their team. Every team is different from year to year. Now, if you were, you get up to game one of the season on the first Friday night and then you quit. Yeah, you quit on your team. You had already started and done everything, okay? But what I'm trying to get across is that when you have committed, so you've started the season and you start it, you need to finish it. And I know it's tough sometimes. It's tough if you have the wrong coach. I dealt with that my senior year. And I really heavily considered quitting. But I stuck it out. I'm glad I did. I didn't enjoy myself at all the rest of the year, but I was raised to finish what you started. Every single senior on the team my senior year quit, and I didn't blame them. I understood why they did.
I had an issue my senior year, and I did quit, and I don't regret it one second in my life. My parents told me to quit because of where I was at, and I was like, I don't make the varsity, I'm not going to sit around here practice all year and get a letter because I was in the gym practicing.
Did you start your senior year on the team, or did you quit?
I did.
Okay.
We had a new coach, kind of like you did, right?
Uh-huh.
Your senior year, we had a new coach.
And well, you're a quitter.
Yeah. And I will forever hold that on my head,
but
I don't give a damn.
Yeah.
And so
to me, it did matter to me.
Well, but you made the varsity team, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like,
well,
I did not.
You have a different situation. Different situation.
But I'm just kind of putting an example out there of where I did, because I didn't make the varsity team, and I felt like, you know, it was a better decision for me, and so did my parents
Did you quit after the season started? Like, you'd played a couple of regular season games?
No, it was a weekend to practice, and he named
team. I don't know if I really call that quitting. To me, I'm like, when the season's begun, and your season...
Yeah, now, if I would have made the varsity, and then I'd never have quit had I been on that varsity 12 right away.
I think it's a little bit different. Like, if you let's for instance talk about Stockton boys, okay?
Yeah.
They barely had enough, as you stated, to go out, and they go halfway in the season, they're 0-10, and one kid quits on the team, and it caused the whole team to go south because they don't have enough kids to play. You just let everybody down, even though you're not having a good year. But it's like, you know what, those are your brothers. I mean, let's go ahead and finish the year. And so I remember my senior year, I had a conversation with my dad and mom about it, because it was horrible. I love basketball. I loved it since I was three or four. And I got my senior year, and it was just a train wreck. They fired our coach the year before. Well, they claimed they didn't renew his contract, whatever. So I had a new coach my senior year, and it was a train wreck. They hired a guy with no experience from him, basically just out of college, and it was an absolute train wreck. And it was horrible. And I lost my love for the sport, and it sucked because I had worked so hard. I had busted my butt. I thought I got the most out of my ability because I wasn't the most athletic player, never was.
Mm-hmm.
But I worked really hard at it. And for that to happen and the rug to come pulling out from underneath me individually, and then for my classmates to quit, everybody during the season at one point or another, they drop like flies. They're like, well, this is stupid. Coach coach ain't playing the seniors because he knows what the future is and we aren't it. And I got, I first game of the first couple of games of the year, I didn't shoot the ball as well as I normally did. And I think I'm not trying to make excuses, but I had to get used to, you know, a different system, a different coach. It was a shell shock for me because I had the same coach for 3 years and I struggled early and he lost faith in me pretty quickly. He didn't, it wasn't a long leash. Next thing you know, I'm coming off the bench instead of starting as a senior. Now that was a little embarrassing to me because I had been starting as a sophomore and junior. And now my senior year, I'm coming off the bench and so forth and so on. And I saw the parents suck up to the new coach and boy, it worked really, really well. And that upset me as well. But I didn't quit. I was close to quitting. And I go, so the end of the season, it's all over, right? And I'm just relieved the season's over. I got through it. I didn't quit. I'm the only senior remaining on the team. Only one. And this is why I'm glad I didn't quit. Because I found out that I gained a lot of respect from my teachers. My teachers at my school at Waukini, I had three or four of them say they knew. They weren't stupid. They knew what was going on.
I had the same experience, actually, in my senior year.
Right. But I remember Mr. Brown, Mr. Scott, and others. They came up to me in the hallway, and they said, hey, just want you to know, really proud of you and respect you because you finished it. Nobody else in your class finished it. You did. And we know it didn't go the way you wanted, but we have mad respect for you. That was the gist of their message, was they just respected me more than before. And that honestly took a lot of the stain of my senior year away, at least somewhat, because I was like, wow, people did know what I was going through. They did see it. And then they related that to me and they were good. They felt, and I told them, I said, I didn't want to be labeled a quitter. And that's what my teacher said. They say, well, nobody can ever say you quit. And I'm like, you know what? I am proud of that. And that meant something to me. And so to the kids today that, you know, you go through a tough season, whether you're 4-16 or you're 0-10 or whatever it might be, or you're on a good team and you might be the seventh man instead of a starter, and then you quit. You know, I guess that's your choice, obviously. But I think if you start something, you should finish it. And so the point of team sports, especially team sports, but in individual sports too, you have to fight through adversity. Whether it's tough or not, you need to fight through it. And if you're not, if you're going to wilt as soon as you deal with adversity and immediately just roll over and give up, what are you going to do when you get down in the real world? What are you going to do when you graduate high school? What are you going to do when you graduate college? Are you going to let a missed free throw define your life? Are you going to let a coach define your life because he didn't like you and didn't play you? Or are you going to let a coach, or you're going to let an administrator, you're going to let a fan, you're going to let a parent, you're going to let your own relatives define you? You know, are you going to let one bad experience and one mistake define you? Or are you going to fight hard and overcome adversity and make up for that mistake? It might be, John Morant made a mistake, okay? He's suspended right now. Texas Tech head coach is suspended. He made a mistake. Are those people, is that going to define them for the rest of their lives? Or are they going to bounce back and overcome that adversity and be better people for it? I don't know. But all I know is sports is a microcosm of life. You don't have to play a whole bunch of sports. You can do other things too that are microcosms of life. You can be in the band. You can be in choir. You can do extracurricular activities. You can simply be a student, and you have to deal with, I want straight A's and I got a B. Oh my God, you're going to let that B define you for the rest of your life? Or are you going to use that as motivation and fuel to get straight A's the next time, or to try to get great ACT score to get a scholarship and whatever the case may be? You, no matter who you are, I would believe even if you're rich beyond belief, and I don't know how that feels, but even if you're born with the golden thumb in your mouth, right, Max? The silver spoon in your mouth, okay? At some point in your life, somehow, some way, it might be a lower form of adversity than others, you're going to face adversity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How are you going to deal with it?
Who are you as a person after it happens, right?
Yes.
And just to expand on mine a little bit, because it might sound like I was a
sure.
quitter.
And
right?
I didn't mean to set you up for
no.
this either.
No, but I was interrupting because I had sure. a similar experience right. my senior year, right? I had a new coach come in. And so it was about, who do you want to be as a person after something like that happens to you? Because we had eight seniors out that year, and three of them hadn't gone out for a while. Two of them never played in high school at all. They just went out because there was a new coach, right? And so, but the other one that was right underneath me, your buddy Darren's brother, right? He hadn't gone out as a junior, but he came out as a senior again because we had a new coach. Now, the other four that were ahead of me and me, we had played all of the years since seventh grade when you could start playing organized sports back mm-hmm. then. And so I had been on varsity sophomore and junior year, and yeah, I'm expecting a new coach. He's like, you know, not all you seniors are going to make varsity. In my mind, it's like, well, the ones that came out that have never played before probably aren't going to make this team, right? And so it all came down, and then he had put his team together by the end of the first week of the season. He had his varsity ready, so we're down to 12, right? And so after 1 week, I'm not on there. And I had said right away that, like, okay, if I'm not on this team,
I got better
things
to do.
He's already made his decision before the season even started,
right?
Like, before I even did it. He was an assistant coach at football. I feel like he put his team together based on what happened during football season. I don't think he was watching us and looking at what we were actually doing as basketball players. And so all this happens, and then the assistant coach at that time is probably now the winningest percentage-wise coach in Trigo basketball history, right? And he fought his ass off for me to get on that team. Coach wouldn't listen, right? And so I see him at the grocery store. He's like, I did everything I could to get you on the team. He's like, and I was like, listen, I know you did. You don't have to tell me that. I understand it. 10 years later, he's still talking to my mom at the beauty shop about how I got screwed, right?
Yeah.
Like it's still coming up.
Made you feel
better.
But
what I wanted to do was make sure, how did I react as a person, and how was I remembered when that happened? And everybody that was below me, that was in classes lower, that were still on the team, were saying, you should be with us playing. But I didn't, like, the biggest thing I wanted to make sure I did was go to the games. And people were like, why would you go if you didn't make it? Like, everybody was asking. I had so many people, why are you at these games and supporting this team? I said, because it's not my friend's fault. It's not my classmates' fault that this coach didn't pick me to be on his team. It's the coach's fault. I hold him accountable. Do I want him to win? I don't. But he's not going to be here very long.
If that's the way
and he wasn't. Yeah. And the legacy of what this school might mean to me is more than what this dude means to me.
Right.
And so in my school spirit and what I want to represent for my friends means more to me than what this dude means to me. So I went to every game. The other kids that got not kicked off the team but didn't make the team and quit, just like I did, they didn't go to any of the games. And I'm like, that's a decision you need to make on your own, but I'm there to support my buddies. I'm there to support my friends. And it's, how do you respond to that? Like, how do you move on?
Right.
And that was my decision, and that's how I decided to move on. I wanted to support my people. I wanted to support my friends, my classmates, in hopes that they would do good things. And they picked up a big win. We stormed the court when we beat Hill City, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just for fun, right? And I was the first one out there. I'm like, this is awesome. And I was able to enjoy it with my buddies, even though I wasn't out on the court playing the game. And so there's so much you can learn from all the experiences that you have. And St. John's Tipton's learning by making it to state, and they're going to have memories that they won't ever forget based on that. Stockton going out there and playing every game on the boys' side this year, they're going to have memories they won't ever forget. They're not going to be a lot of good memories from that, but they can at least hold their heads high and say, hey, we went out and played every single game.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't quit. We didn't forfeit. We played every single game. Natoma can say the same thing, right? Any of the teams, whether you're at the top of the spectrum or the bottom of the spectrum, there's something that you can remember and hopefully take away from it that's positive for you.
It can't be easy to go out when you don't win very many games and go out every single night, maybe even knowing deep down that you're going to lose.
20 my sophomore year of high school.
You're going to lose. The coaches keep riding you in practice to make you better. You're like, yeah, what's the point? We're going against number two team in state. We ain't going to win. You know, it easily happens. It leaks into your brain. And then, you know, what happens with fans and community support, by the way, is the same thing. And don't, there are some exceptions to the rule, but most towns are like this, and we see this in college sports big time and pro sports, but it happens at high school level. Don't kid yourself. When a basketball team is having a rough year, they don't have as much support as the team that's winning. It's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they really need you more than ever. And so then you sometimes can be on a team that's not having a good year, and you look in the stands and you see a lot of empty seats. So you hear the other team's fans louder than your fans, because one, well, you're getting beat pretty bad, but two, it probably crosses your mind and leaks in. You're like, man, this is embarrassing. Yeah, but you still stuck it out. You know, it would be easy to say, I'm done. I'm embarrassed. I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to be associated with a team that barely wins, no matter what sport it is. And so you're right. I think Stockton's a great example of that, for those kids to fight through and go all year long. You know, Pawnee Heights girls made it to state. They have a losing record, and I'm sure they had a favorable sub-state, which that's part of the equation to this, people. Let's not sit here and, well, you're downplaying it because you bring up the fact it's a weaker sub-state. It is
Southern
what it is.
Southern Cloud Boys, right?
Like, Southern Cloud Boys are 12-11. They made it state. Congratulations to them on making it to state. They benefited by their draw. I mean, they're not going to tell you that they didn't. Yeah. Okay, that's a fact. You know, if you don't like facts, then I guess just stick your head underneath a rock and go from there. But But it's great that Southern Cloud gets to go. I've got a kid I Absolutely coach that's going, and I think it's awesome that they're going to state. And how they do, I don't know. It's going to be tough. They'll go up against a one seed. But Pawnee Heights girls only have six girls on their team. Yeah. What a story. They made it to state. Now, are they going to do much at state? I don't know. They're 10 and 13, I think. But they made it to state. That's a great story. Now, are they one of the best eight teams in the state? Probably not. Is Southern Cloud one of the best eight teams in the state? Probably not. Is Clay Center Boys one of the top eight teams in the state in 4A? Probably not. But that doesn't matter. You only can control the schedule you have in the sub-state you play in, okay? You know, Central Plains Boys, was it last year? They were like one win going in, and they end up, we knew they were going to win their sub-state, and they go to state with a 4-18 record or something like that. And we brought it up, and we talked about it, and there were some people going, well, that's not, you're not being, that ain't right, talking about the kids like that. Like, we're not talking about the kids. We're talking about a system that's not good. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we're talking about. I mean, the Central Plains went out and won the three games they're supposed to win. What are they supposed to do? Feel sorry for somebody else and let another losing record team go in? No, you don't. You compete, you fight to the bitter end, no matter what your record is. So that's a problem with the system. And if you want to say, well, Pawnee Heights getting in and Southern Cloud getting in, that's a problem with the system. Or all these teams at TVL, only a few come out and go to state. And then there have other teams, you know, all these other areas of state that are going to state, but you know they're not as good as the teams at TVL. So that's not fair. And we could go on and on about how life's not fair. But the bottom line is you have to perform against whoever you're scheduled to play. And go win. And the bottom line is, whether you want to give credit to this team or give credit to that team or blame this team for losing and that team no credit for winning or vice versa, is at the end of the day, you, to make it on to the state tournament, you have to win. Simple as that. No matter who you play, you have to win to make it to state. And you have to win to get to the sub-state final. And that's, by the way, I will say this. I will say this, based on a comment somebody said about downplaying. I will say that we do... I don't think it's downplaying this, but I do think that we don't give enough credit to teams that make it all the way to the sub-state finals, because what usually happens is you start talking about the teams that made it to state and you focus on the teams that won and made it to state. There's a lot of schools out there that would love to win 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 games and go to the sub-state finals and have that experience. And even though they lose, they're still only one win away from going to state. And I think we overlook that accomplishment sometimes. I think in fairness to, you know, Osborne girls and the Beloit boys and Smith Center girls, in fairness to those three, that, you know, that's quite an accomplishment to get to the sub-state finals. And sometimes you run into
a Sweet 16 of high school basketball.
It is. It is. You're trying to get the Elite Eight, the Final Eight at state. You're absolutely correct. That's a good analogy. And so you have a great year. And at the end of the season, there's only two teams that are going to be smiling at the end of the year. Usually it's only one. But in high school and in basketball in Kansas, you do have a third place game. And I don't even know if you're smiling a ton when you win third place or not. But the fact is, only two teams in every single class at the end of the year is going to end the season with a win. Everybody else is going to end with a loss, whether it's the sub-state first round, sub-state semis, sub-state championship, state first round. If you lose a state semis and the third place game, you lose a state championship, you lose the third place game. Everybody, for the most part, I mean, look at the NFL, 32 teams, 31 ended with a loss, didn't they? The NCAA tournament, you got how many Division I teams, okay? Well, let's just go with the NCAA Division I tournament. 68 teams, 67 are going to end with a loss. So it's hard. It's really, really hard. And we are all in, it seems like. And like I said, Nick Wright's talking about this recently, that the media is part of the problem with this. And I think he's got a point, although I think society sometimes is a reflection of the media. And that is that, and this is where I will agree, with the person that said about downplaying, is that we downplay an NFL team goes, they you know, Jacksonville Jaguars, a great season. I mean, an unbelievable jump for where they were last year, this year. But it's probably downplayed, except in Jacksonville. It's downplayed nationally. Why? Because they lost. Because
right.
They lost. Yeah. You know, the Chiefs, well, they had a great year last year. They lost to the Bengals. Well, it's completely downplayed because they didn't win at all. How many times has KU men's basketball season's been downplayed because they win the Big 12 and they're a number one seed and they don't win at all? It's like, oh, well, it's a horrible travesty and a failure. No, it's not. No. We're overlooking what an unbelievable season the KU men's basketball team had for 5 months or whatever it was. They won 30-some games. They won the Big 12 tournament. They won the Big 12 championship. And they happened to lose to VCU in the Elite Eight. Oh, what a horrible, bitter disappointment. Well, guess what? VCU didn't win at all either. So only one team ends up winning. And so sometimes I think we do get caught up in the, we've got to talk about the team that wins the championship, but then we just forget everybody else. And at the high school level, I think we all can do better. Fans, media, everybody alike, that it is an accomplishment, one, to just step on the floor and get through a season. Two, it's an accomplishment to do well, have a good year, and go deep into the sub-state. And three, it's a huge accomplishment to get to state. And four, it's an unbelievable accomplishment to win it all. Mm-hmm. But not everybody gets that experience. And so if you can somehow, if every single high school kid could go to a state tournament once as a participant, or in any sport for that matter, hey, that would be great. Now, I don't want us to hand out participation medals and let everybody go if they're not deserving, but it would be great if everybody was, able to earn a spot, whether it be cross country, tennis, golf, basketball, football, wrestling, volleyball, whatever the sport is, team sport, individual sport. It'd be great for every single high school student athlete in the state of Kansas or across the country to have at least one state tournament experience of some kind. And more often than not, many don't get that.
Right. And we talk about, the microcosm of life. I mean, this is about a perfect spot to start to learn, hey, winners get rewards.
Yeah.
And if you lose the game, you don't get the reward at the end. I mean, it's a good place to start teaching that a little bit for what's coming up a little bit later. You do good things at your job, you're supposed to get promoted and you're supposed to get the higher salary. I know.
Sometimes
it doesn't always work out that way. Life isn't always fair, but that's the way it's supposed to go. That's the way it's going to go most of the time. You do the right things follow as far as rewards and compensation and stuff. It doesn't always work that way, but most of the time it does. And so high school is a good place to start to learn that a little bit. Whether it's, Dusty said his didn't work out in his senior year of high school, but, for the most part, if you're one of the 12 best players on the team, you're going to make it, on the varsity. Yes. And you win games, you get to go to the state tournament. You win the last game at the state tournament, you get a medal. And so, or whatever it is. So that's a good place to start learning things like that. And then when you go into life, obviously, life will throw you a curveball every now and then. Life will throw you a bad boss now and then. Life will throw you...
What are you saying?
Yeah. And life will throw you a bad boss. So, I've already had that. So
what are you saying? I want to say one more thing here, and I think y'all make good points. Yeah. Y'all, I'm from Texas now. Everything's bigger in Texas. Everybody knows that. That's a fact. But I want to go back to the comment I got on a text with the word downplay. If you took me bringing up NPL versus TVL as downplaying what the teams that made it a sub-state and lost, if you took that as me downplaying what they accomplished, then you completely missed my intention with bringing that up. And secondly, if that's how you took it, I don't know what to tell you. However, I will say this. You know why I bring it up? It's not to downplay what teams have accomplished. I bring it up because I'm frustrated because I want our area teams to win those games.
Well, I was just going
to
say.
That's why I bring it up. I bring it up because in order for it to change, it's no different than one team beats another team three times in a season next year. You can't just be the same team. You're going to have to get better to beat that team, no matter where they're from. If you want to beat the TVL more often, the NPL is going to have to get better. That's a fact, okay? If Beloit wants to beat Southeast Saline in boys basketball in the future, they're going to have to get better. If St. John's Tipton wants to win a state championship and they don't win it this year, they're going to have to get better to win a state title. I can keep going through every single school and every single example, so I don't leave anybody out. That's I am frustrated by that. I've been on the other side when I've been there, and they win most of them. Now I'm on this side where I'm like, these are the teams we cover. We want as many teams to go to state, and we got knocked out by some of the teams from the same dang league. It's like, So if I end up downplaying getting the sub-state because I bring that up, that's not my intent whatsoever. It's more of a frustration thing because I've seen it for so long, and it doesn't really for the most part, change, except with some exceptions. That's why I brought that
up. Might be as simple as, you know, the three of us had certain games. We had three games with three chances to go to state, and, you know, only one of us got to see that team break through and go to state.
Yeah, and we're upset with Jason. It's his fault.
Yeah, it is my fault. Absolutely. And it might be also as simple as, if you're just new to the show, you kind of start the show with what you do,
yeah,
with what you did. Then we kick it to Dusty for kind of a recap of local sports. He gives what he did, and then I chime in. And here on this, and just this certain weekend, you know, if you just go by the order, it's almost every show. You start the show,
right?
Throw it to Dusty, then I chime in here and there, and, you know, that's the order we did it today. So if that's what you're saying, downplay, I hope that's not, you know, I hope you didn't think we downplayed it that way. That's just the way the show goes. Right. I don't know. Yeah.
We have different talking points that we go to, and we led off the show with the play-by-play cuts from Substate Saturday, and we led with the teams making it to state, mm-hmm, which is two, and they're from the same school, which is pretty impressive.
It's just
John's Tipton girls and
this,
boys.
You know, this year, one out of three made it. That's, you know, there'll be years where two out of three, there'll be years three out of three, but it's just this year, one out of three. I hope
two out of four in the end.
I see what you're saying. True.
So anyway, bare minimum Monday is a thing now. Did you hear about that? Bare minimum Monday,
mm-hmm,
where you do the bare minimum. And I think next Monday I'll just do the bare minimum, so I don't get, you know, I only know of one person that, you know, somehow, I guess I just read the
scores from the finals.
I'll just read the scores. Wait a minute. You didn't say enough good things about the team that had the winning score. Well, darn. Wait a minute. You didn't say enough good things about the team with the losing score. Ah, dang it. Well, I guess we'll just put on the music, let her fly, silence.
Proclaim it now. You're going to start at 6A because that's just, you know, you start top to bottom, and just so you don't make anybody mad, you know.
Yeah, I'll go alphabetical order.
Yeah,
you know, I'll make sure everything's alphabetical order. Somebody time me on a stopwatch, and we'll spend only 18 seconds on every team, so everything's fair and equitable. And then, right in the middle of a thought, we'll just cut it off. And we'll go to the next one, you know, so forth and so on. Yeah, I'm being a little facetious. We all are.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it's the nature of the beast of what we do. All right, we move on to college basketball, where the Kansas Jayhawks, they lost. Whoa. Are you going to lead with that?
Wilson, a lob to KJ. Deep catch, has to save it to Bobby. Out to Wando. Now Wilson, he'll try a three. Bullseye! What a shot by Jay Will. And four Jayhawks touch it on that trip down the floor.
What a jerk. Why did I start with a team that lost? That's just my bad. My bad. Hold on. This is the cut I was supposed to play first.
West Virginia picks up their sixth quad one win. In front of a sellout crowd on Senior Day, our final score, West Virginia 89, Kansas State 81.
Well, wait a minute. That's not nice. I'm downplaying K-State's great season by playing that. I mean, K-State had a great year. Why would I play a cut when they lost? That's just mean and ill-spirited and stuff. So what else do I got that I can use? I got all kinds of different things, but I don't know which way to go. Somebody might have to call and coach me and tell me how to do the show. So let's just go in alphabetical order. Kansas, and then Kansas State.
Creighton's first.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Alabama's first. Okay, so we will go with KU real quickly. KU is now 25-6 in the country overall, 13-5. Finished the regular season on Saturday with a loss at number 9, Texas, 75-59. Wait a minute. You said loss. You should say Texas won. I'm sorry. Texas won, so they get enough credit, over Kansas, 75-59. Texas 23-8, 12-6 in the Big 12. Jalen Wilson, 23 points, 10 rebounds, double-double. It does seem odd, though, that Jalen Wilson, when he has his bigger games, that seems to be the games KU loses. Not all of them. Here's Bill Self. They just didn't have it.
Texas was turned up. And they defensively, they made us play outside our comfort zone without question. A lot like they did TCU the second half the other day. You know, they just didn't have the same results. But we weren't any good. But you know what? Offensively, they weren't great the first half either. I mean, so. But second half, they played take them, and we couldn't guard their guys individually. And, you know, we didn't have anything going. So we got what we deserved today.
K KU loses, but it's really not that bad a loss. In fact, Joe Lenardi, Alabama lost. Houston barely won on a buzzer beater against Memphis. Houston's not going to get the number one overall seed. They don't have a good enough conference in regards to getting it. Not enough good quad one wins. Joe Lenardi has KU's number one overall seed in the tournament after they lost by 16 at Texas. If that doesn't give respect to Kansas and respect to the Big 12, I don't know what does. And it's what Dusty said last week. He goes, I think KU doesn't have to do very much, and they still are the number one overall seed. I think as long as they avoid losing in the quarterfinals coming up on Thursday in the Big 12 tournament, as long as they win one game Big 12 tournament, I think they are your overall number one seed. They clearly have the best resume overall, and they really didn't have a lot to play for. I know Brian Haney said they had tons to play for. I personally feel like they had the number one overall seed to play for, but they had already won the title outright in the Big 12. They'd already beaten Texas. Like, if they lost to Texas early in the year, I think Kansas plays a lot differently in that game. I think they read the tea leaves. They read the social media. They know their situation. Kansas has gone through meat grinder after meat grinder all year long. They're always the hunted. The X is on their back, and they usually come through with flying colors. They win the league outright by a full game. They didn't have to share it. You know, what was there for them to fully accomplish? I guess to sew up the one seed, and oddly enough, they lost by 16, and Joe Lenardi says they've got it anyway. So, anybody surprised by a flat performance?
No. If you go just by the history of this weekend in any previous year, you get plenty of these. I mean, you get whether it's the top seed of your conference tournament or you're locked into the sixth seed of your conference tournament and you're ranked 25, you see that team come out with a flat performance against some other team. This weekend is just full of those type of games where there's just a lot of teams that are really kind of stuck where they're at, not really have anything to play for, and they don't, you know, and it shows, you know. And then there's other teams that are fighting for their life or their tournament life or fighting for a higher seed in their conference tournament, and they're those teams that are going to come out with a little more energy. This weekend, I wouldn't put a whole lot of stock into anything that happened this weekend just because of that factor alone. I mean,
West Virginia really needed a win. Now it looks like they're probably in the tournament. They beat K-State, as you heard there, 89-81. K-State, Marquise Noel and Keontae Johnson each scored 24 points. Jerome Tang on his team just not having it either.
Credit to West Virginia, especially those seniors, man. It's always tough on senior night. Thought early was able to jump on them, and they settled down and they played like seniors on senior night are supposed to play. And so the credit to them and what they did, were able to do, especially in the second half. Like, we couldn't guard them. They were really good. So credit to Coach Huggins, those guys.
So K-State loses. They finished 11-7 in the Big 12. They'll be the 3-seed Big 12 tournament. More on that in a moment. Number 7, Baylor, upset at home by Iowa State, 73-58. Caleb Grill, who was dismissed from the team right away on social media, congrats to the Cyclones. Huge win. You know, kind of like what you're talking about, Dusty. You went and attended games even though you weren't on the team anymore, chose not to be on the team anymore when you were a senior. You were there supporting him. Caleb Grill was dismissed, so he didn't have the choice. But he did make a mistake or two, whatever it might be. We don't know exactly what he said wrong, whatever, but we know he's dealing with some mental health issues. And he was the first one to come out and be like, hey, how about those Cyclones? So you'd love to see that. Iowa State bounces back with that win on the road at Baylor. Huge win. Oklahoma wins over TCU, 74-60. And Oklahoma State, a big win. They're on the bubble right now. They beat Texas Tech 71-68. All right, the Big 12 tournament men's bracket is out. Here's the matchups coming up on Wednesday, March the 8th. In a couple of days, it's number 8 West Virginia against number 9 Texas Tech, number 7 Oklahoma State against number 10 Oklahoma. Who knows who wins those games? Then on Thursday, the quarterfinals, Baylor is the 4-seed against the 5-seed Iowa State, so a rematch at 11:30 in the morning. And then number 1 Kansas will play the winner of West Virginia and Texas Tech. And Kansas barely beat West Virginia at home, barely beat Texas Tech at home, barely beat Texas Tech in Lubbock. So who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's at 2 o'clock, 1:30 pregame on Z96.3 Lake on Thursday. Texas and will take on the winner of Oklahoma State, Oklahoma at 6 o'clock on Thursday. K-State, the nightcap, which could be a great game against TCU at 8:30. That's the last quarterfinal. Semifinals on Friday at 6 and 8:30. Championship game 5 o'clock on Saturday. So real quickly, who wins the Big 12 tournament? Pick the team. I mean, every year that I pick KU to win the Big 12 tournament, they lose. And every year I think they're not, they win it. So I'm gonna let Jason pick first. Let's go fairly quickly here. Who you got?
Boy, this is tough. I'm just going to say Baylor.
That's a
Baylor.
Good one.
Yep.
Dusty, who you picking to win it?
Kansas State.
All right. Okay. All right.
Because I don't know who to pick, and I'm just going to pick my team.
That's kind of. I feel you. I'm kind of the same way. Like, I was asked last night by my oldest at the dinner table. He said, "Who are you picking to win the Big 12 tournament?" I said, "You know, I think any of the top six can win it." And I said, "I wouldn't be surprised if the winner TCU K State wins it." But I said, "I think it's going to be KU or K State. That's what I think." Now I got to pick one. I'm going to kiss the death when I pick KU to win it, but I'll pick KU to win it. Since they had a bad loss to Texas there, I think they'll regroup. So I'll say KU wins it. But I tell you what, West Virginia or Texas Tech could knock out Kansas in the quarterfinals. Mm-hmm. There's no question. And Texas could lose to Oklahoma State or Oklahoma. And Oklahoma's had their highs and their lows. So I don't know. Throw them all in a hat and draw a name. Yesterday, the Big 12 Conference released their postseason honors as voted on by the coaches. To no surprise, KU and K-State well represent. Let's see. Jalen Wilson voted unanimously as the player of the year. We said he would get player of the year. Are you surprised that it was unanimous?
Yeah, I am a little bit surprised that it is a unanimous vote. I made a joke to my guys. I said Marquise Noel turned over all his first place votes now.
Yeah.
With his turnover issues here. Well, that may part be of the season. And I think that's why didn't get it, is because he had some of those, or didn't get votes, I should say, is because he had some of those issues.
I was a little surprised that Wilson was unanimous, but at the same time, I thought he would be easily the player of the year,
yeah,
vote-wise, yeah. But I thought Noel might get a vote or two. So I was a little bit surprised by that. Jerome Tang, a K-State, named the coach of the year after being picked to finish last in the preseason, depending on which poll you looked at. Some had him ninth, some of them had him 10th. Led the team to a third-place finish, of course, and we all knew he'd get coach of the year. DeJuan Harris, named defensive player of the year. Can't really argue with that. Mm-hmm. Keontae Johnson, K-State, unanimous choice as newcomer of the year. Can't argue with that. KJ Adams of Kansas received most improved player. There's a few players you could throw in that mix, but certainly he was improved. Jalen Wilson and Keontae Johnson joined by Marquise Noel as first team all Big 12 picks, along with Baylor's Adam Flagler and Marcus Carr of Texas. Also for KU, Grady Dick was second team. Kevin McCullough was third team all Big 12. And then KJ Adams and DeJuan Harris, honorable mention picks. Harris, McCullough, and Noel were all defensive picks. Johnson and Dick were on the all newcomer team. And Grady Dick was also picked for the all freshman team. You can find the full list of Big 12 honors at Big12Sports.com. Desi Sills maybe could have been honorable mention Big 12. I think that maybe is a legitimate gripe. But I laugh, though. I have to say it, guys. I mean, K-State gets two fifths. So the first team, five players. They've got two. Nobody else has two on the first team. Marquise Noel and Keontae Johnson. Nobody overlooked these guys. They got what they're supposed to. They were first teamers. In my book, they got what they deserve, which is first team accolades. And there are K-State fans complaining that neither one was unanimous. Who gives a flying bleep? could you complain? I mean, I think Jesus could come down and give you everything you wanted, and you complain about something. It is ridiculous to me. I do not get it. I don't know if they're the only fan base that does this. I'm sure there's other fan bases, but it's just to the point where you want to whine to whine until your dreams come true. Dear Lord, you have the only school in the Big 12 to have two first teamers, and you're going to complain about that one of them isn't unanimous? Yeah. That is stupid. That is just downright stupid and idiotic. I mean, it doesn't matter. Jalen Wilson doesn't get extra points because he's unanimous, or Adam Flagler. And here, by the way, if you want to really look at it, the reason that you probably don't have a unanimous pick on the first team is because you have two on the first team. Yeah, you take votes away from each other sometimes with Noel and Johnson. Yeah. And that's one of those people that's in the media said this. I'm like, dear, are you just an unhappy person all the time? Do you always focus on the negative, like all the time? Why don't you focus on the unanimous newcomer of the year, Keontae Johnson? You know, is there somebody out there wants to whine about that? I mean, I don't know. It's just ridiculous.
I think I would have found a place for George on the first team, but then when he read the first team, I'm like, I don't know who I'm taking off. So
Somebody saying that why didn't K-State have more than one newcomer on the newcomer team? I'm like, well, who are you going to take off? I looked at the team. I'm like, you ain't going to take anybody off. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Texas Tech suspended their head coach Mark Adams for what the university called an inappropriate, unacceptable, and racially insensitive comment. Texas Tech stated that Adams was encouraging a player to be more receptive to coaching and referenced Bible verses about workers, teachers, parents, and slaves serving their masters. Adams apologized to the team, but after being made aware of the incident and a more thorough inquiry, Texas AD Kirby Hokut made the decision to suspend Adams. No timetable is given for return, but after a disappointing season, Adams is on the hot seat anyway, and this certainly doesn't help. But he's going to get paid a lot whether they let him go or not. He did sign an extension last spring that runs through the 26-27 season. Any thoughts, Dusty, on this one?
You could go some different ways with it, but you can't do it. Just come on, Mark.
I mean, in today's society where we've seen so many people say the wrong things, tied to things like this, and you are the leader of your team at a Power 5 university, I don't care how old you are. You can act like you're old and out of touch, or you can act like you're young and naive, but if you're smart enough to be the head coach of a basketball team, shouldn't you be smart enough not to maybe mention something like that?
Well, yeah. Especially when there was like three, like you could say
you can recite Bible verses, but when you probably get to the word slaves, you might just want to stop talking.
Especially when there were like two or three other examples in there. You know, right. if it was just a Bible verse, I don't know why that'd be. But there's two or three other examples. Why don't you stick with those?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
They use the Chandler Giffen response. Is like, oh, no, 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 no.
Oh, my. Wichita State finished their regular season with a win over South Florida on Senior Day, 69-49. They led by three at halftime, pulled away second half. Craig Porter Jr., 24 points to lead the way. Shockers, 16-14. They are at 9-9 at AAC play, and they'll play in their tournament coming up later this week. KU women and K-State women concluded their regular season Saturday. KU women, they're going to go to the tournament. They finished strong, 19-10, 9-9 in the Big 12. They won by 23 at TCU, 84-61. K-State women on senior day, rough day, taking on number 12 Texas, and they trailed 39-14 at the break, lost big for the second time this year to Texas, 82-52. The women's bracket, K-State will play Thursday night at 5 o'clock against Texas Tech. K-State the 9 seed. KU the 7 seed will take on TCU the 10 seed right after that 7:30. That's at Municipal Auditorium there in Kansas City. If KU wins, they would play then Oklahoma in the quarters on Friday. And if K-State would win, they would get, hey, what do you know, Texas again on Friday at 1:30. The Royals, go ahead and polish and order your World Series rings. The Royals are 9-1 in spring training. All we had to do was fire the manager and get rid of Dayton Moore, and we're set, man.
You know what I want?
9-1, man. That's amazing. They beat the Giants 5-1. They got the D-backs today.
I want the last spring training of the game, like the last spring training game of the year before they leave Arizona or Florida or wherever your team's at. If you have the best record at the end of spring training, just do the dog pile and the champagne out there in the middle of the field. Just do it, because some team like Kansas City or
it's only time
or,
we'll get to do that.
Right, or Florida or Detroit are gonna have a great spring training record. It's the only time they're gonna be able to do that.
That would be awesome.
Just do it.
That would be awesome. But you know how many people nationally would just get all over them for doing it? You know how it would be.
I know, but
it would be like Central Florida claiming they're national champions in football. Remember how much angst they caught over all that? I think it's still a fun idea, though. And finally, we end with the most, and I want to really make sure people understand how important this is. Travis Kelce hosted Saturday Night Live on Saturday night. Did you happen to watch or see any of it?
I watched it, yeah. I didn't watch it live, obviously, but I watched it yesterday.
Have you seen the skit that got cut? With Creed Humphrey?
Yeah.
That was the best skit. Yeah. I don't know how that got cut. That was the funniest thing that I saw, and it wasn't even in the hour and a half of Saturday Night Live. If you haven't seen, I don't want to ruin everything for you, but what was your favorite part of the Kelce hosted Saturday Night Live? The doll thing was creepy.
That American Girl thing was creepy, but it was probably funny. The funniest one.
It was funny. I like the one where he's the instructor and he just knocks out these nerds. Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny. I didn't like the gun thing with the old lady. I didn't like them going that far, but I did laugh pretty hard when he just decks the guy. But
I got a kick out. It was just a small part of the monologue. I got a little bit of a kick out of I was happy we beat my brother, and they panned to his brother, and everybody else is laughing, and he's got this stoic look. And then there's a point where Travis makes fun of himself in the monologue, and they cut to Jason, and he's just laughing.
They did the Catch and Kelsey cut when he did his show and didn't make it and didn't get picked up by Peacock either, and that's when Jason Kelsey started laughing. That was pretty good. Yeah. The other one I thought in his monologue is like, everybody knows I'm really good with words, and then they just showed him on the sideline, more, and just said more like 10, 15 seconds, and I thought that was pretty good as well. I thought he did a good job. The writing is hard for Saturday Night Live because it's hard to always put something together that's funny, and usually the first half of SNL is way funnier than the second half. The second half is kind of not very good, sometimes very risque. Weekend Update sometimes is very funny. I didn't think Weekend Update was that good the other night. I think it was too long.
When it's good. When it's bad, it's not so good.
And I think they went too long with it, and so we missed out. But it's on. If you follow me on Twitter, you can yell at me, or you can go ahead and retweet stuff. NCKS Radio Guy 10, and you'll see one of my tweets recently or yesterday is the skit that was pulled out of Saturday Night Live that was cut with Creed Humphrey and Travis and Jason Kelsey. It's about the NFL giving back. It's about charity, and the premise is that these Jason Kelsey and Travis Kelsey and Creed Humphrey help the girlfriends of small boyfriends, help lift them up, because these small boyfriends aren't strong enough to lift them up, carry them into a room or whatever else. I thought it was pretty dang on, really funny. And I thought the funniest line of anything I saw on Saturday Night Live is when Creed Humphrey puts the lady on the counter and he goes, "I love charity." That was the funniest thing, and it wasn't even in Saturday Night Live on Saturday night. So
I thought Kelsey did good with what he's given. I didn't like the doll sketch that much.
It was creepy.
All. Yeah,
it was some funny things about it, but it was creepy to say the least. Some of the other skits weren't that good, but it is Saturday Night Live. It's kind of a hit or miss type of thing, and. But yeah, Kelsey,
it would be hard because you got a new host every week, and you got to write it towards them, but then try to keep it somewhat topical too. I get why it's hard, but
I thought they missed the opportunity, and maybe they asked her to do it and she didn't. I think they could have easily had Mama Kelsey in a skit. I think it could have been hilarious. Yeah. But I was like, man, it'd be so cool if Mama Kelsey would be in it. I thought maybe Mahomes would be involved somehow, but he wasn't, other than Kelsey doing his Mahomes impersonation of Kermit the Frog in the monologue. So I'm just giving away about everything. But go check it out.
You're still going to watch it to know what happens.
You do. Saturday Night Live, it was just happened here this past Saturday, and Travis Kelsey was the host. His brother made some cameos, and Creed Humphrey is in a skit that isn't on Saturday Night Live. You have to go to my Twitter, I guess, to find that. So that ends the show here today. I want to appreciate the person getting us all fired up. I guess you hear what you want to hear, and you can interpret what you want to interpret, and you can rationalize what you want to rationalize, and you can have the agenda that you want to have. That's fine. That's the beauty of our country. You can do all that stuff, but just remember that if you want to say something to me, whether it's to my face, or if you want to text or email, or even if I find out about it behind my back, I'm not one that's going to shy away from discussing or even debating it with you. I'm not one of those people that just rolls over and plays dead and goes, "Oh yeah, okay, all right, okay, yeah, okay, yeah, great, great." And I've never been known in my life to be a suck up either, and I'm proud of that part, because I feel like you should earn things on your own merits, and you know, and so forth and so on. And so some people will like certain personalities. Some people like bluntness. Some people don't. Some people don't like the fact that you talk about certain topics. Some people do. It's no different, really, honestly, except it's a much bigger scale when people complain about who the halftime entertainment is for the Super Bowl. And no matter who the NFL chooses to choose or pick, it's always going to upset somebody. And if we say something, anything negative towards anything locally, and it's not even negative, it's just simply stating a fact about what we said in regards to the comparison of areas in sports in Kansas to other areas. And by the way, that area we talked about, Northeast Kansas, is better than any area in the state when it comes to the smaller schools. Not just our area. It's better than pretty much any area in the state of Kansas. And if you don't like that we bring that up, then, you got any advice, Dusty? If you don't like to hear that stuff, I mean, we're going to present some things and topics and discuss things. And if you, I guess if it's just like Saturday Night Live, if it's a skit you don't like, then you have the freedom to change it. If you don't like that Dusty quit on his basketball team when he was a senior in high school, I'm sorry. Did I say that? See, I don't want to downplay that too much. I don't want to upplay it either. Is there a such thing as upplay? Can I upplay anything?
Well, I think
I can upload.
You should download? Upplay the fact that somebody stayed on the team the whole season.
Yes, I think we should overplay that. Yeah, absolutely.
But so, I don't know.
No. So anyway, it is interesting. Your story, my story, different but similar in ways.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And from the same high school. And with different coaches and different generations in a way, because Dusty's younger than me.
The other part of that is the same is we actually had the same coach the year before. Your coach was the same coach that I had.
Because he got a second stint.
Yeah, he came back and was coaching again. And then both of our senior years, the coach that we had for the first 3 years of our high school, the same guy, is no longer the coach. Now, he retired
right.
on his own volition.
It's too bad that I didn't have my coach. The second stint would be his actually just stay with his first stint.
Exactly.
But who knows how my life would be different.
You know, when you're 16, 17, 18, these are all trial runs for things that come up later.
Right.
You know, yeah. you can, you know, however you want to look at it, do the exact wrong thing at 16 and still be okay. Then you can do the right thing at 18 and still make a whole bunch of mistakes later on in life. These are just trial runs. Let's relax and let, you know.
And nowadays you can do the right thing and people tell you you did the wrong thing.
Right.
And you did the wrong thing.
Just,
and they tell you, oh, well, actually, kind of that's probably a good thing you did that. It's like, wait a minute, I'm confused. I thought there was clear a right and a wrong. That's how I was raised. There's a right and a wrong. Like, no, there's a lot of gray now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, vacation time. Vacation time. I don't have any teams to cover. That's mean. Horrible.
I have four.
You have four teams
to
cover.
Two here and two for Bruce. So.
Yeah. Jason may have a team to cover.
To be determined.
We shall find out. Have a great day, everyone.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.